Hello and welcome to another episode of the Spodcasters here at KUSports.com. Thanks for logging on today to listen to what we have to say, and boy do we have a treat for you today. Benton A. Smith is here to do what he does. Benton, tell him what you do.
Right now we're just talking hoops.
Okay.
Talking some KU hoops.
Okay.
I do a lot of things.
Yard work.
I really don't want to bore the people with what I do,
yeah.
Per se.
Shoe collector.
Oh, yeah.
Yard work. Child raiser. All kinds of things that you do. But what we would like you to do is go deep right now with some KU hoops knowledge. And I mean deep. Like, give me just the first thought. Let's do a little word association.
Okay.
The first thought that comes to your mind when I say KU basketball. Go.
Frank Mason.
Wow. Nailed it.
Did I pass?
You did. That's amazing. Man. All right. Well, enough clowning around. What we're going to do today is just kind of get you up to speed as good a time as any. Kind of the midway point, give or take. KU's 15-2 overall, 4-1 in conference play, and ranked third in the country after the latest polls come out when they fell from number one after losing to West Virginia last week. So overall, Benton, is KU in good, healthy, happy shape, or is that 15-2 record a little bit deceiving, or should they be 17-0? What do you think?
Well, I think they're in good shape, but if you've watched them since that triple overtime game against Oklahoma, I feel like we haven't quite seen the same KU team that we saw in that game and the weeks leading up to that game.
And completely agree.
I'm kind of wondering, is that, I mean, it's possible, isn't it, that that game just took so much out of guys that it's just hard to kind of recover even. I mean, it'll be 2 weeks today, I
right,
guess,
right.
That happened. But, I mean, just watching the way they played the past three games, there was at Texas Tech, at West Virginia, at home against TCU.
Not real impressive in any of those.
Yeah, and Self talked after that TCU game that, like, he just didn't really see the guys playing with energy. He said effort was there, but maybe not kind of the same bounce in how guys have played. I think you've seen that the past three games since that OU triple overtime game.
I agree, and the good news in regard to what you're saying there is that there are plenty of more Big 12 marquee type games that are ahead, starting really with next Monday at Iowa State. Mm-hmm. They got a couple of tough games, potentially tough games before that.
Right.
Tomorrow at Oklahoma State, and then home against Texas Saturday. If they don't show up, they could be in trouble in either one of those games. But right. In terms of that feel, the big time feel, Vital, ESPN, the whole nation's watching. I think there's three or four more games like that this year. So if that's what KU's waiting on to kind of reach that level again, then there are opportunities ahead.
Yeah.
It's possible, though, and I don't think this is probably true because it certainly doesn't seem to ever have been the case with Bill Self teams, but that night against Oklahoma, if KU played like that every night against every opponent,
right.
They'd probably not lose again.
Yeah.
And if that's sort of an indicator of where they're at, is it possible that that was their peak? And maybe that's what's happening now? You just can't get to that level again? And forget about peaking too early or at the right time or any of that. I'm not going to go there necessarily because who knows? It's different with every team every year. But
yeah.
Is it possible that you know, that's sort of the deal? They hit that peak and the only place you can go from there is down?
Right. Yeah, I mean, that's possible, I think. I mean, that's clearly, you're not going to see them play much better than they played that
right,
night.
Right, right.
Both teams were amazing. And I guess it's probably just human nature.
There you go.
You're going to inevitably not be able to stay at that level.
Right.
Now, at West Virginia, that was probably the most disappointing.
The Valley.
Of that three-game stretch, because you know going into that West Virginia game that's a legit team. If you're a junior on this team or a senior, you know that you've lost at West Virginia
right.
the last 2 years. You know what to expect when you play that Bob Huggins team at West Virginia.
Right.
And West Virginia almost won in the field house last season.
Right.
They came here, it went to overtime. KU somehow won. One of those games that you're like, how did KU come back and win
it? Yeah, the field house magic is all you can call that,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
I mean, those games, they have two or three of those every year where you're like, huh?
Right. So that's probably the biggest disappointment of these past three games is that KU played so poorly in a game that you know, you're essentially facing another top 10 team. I think West Virginia was 11th
yeah,
last week.
Yeah.
Now they're number 6 because top they've 10, shown right? against KU and Oklahoma how good they are. I don't know. A letdown against Texas Tech and TCU, you can kind of see that coming because you kind of know, all right, we show up, we kind of take care of business, we'll be okay.
Still won the game. We'll get right. out of here. Right, and they yeah. did that. Yeah, yeah, I mean, I think, again, a lesser team in each of those instances would have maybe lost because the Texas Tech played hard, they were athletic, mm-hmm. they hung around, they gave them some fits, and TCU, especially for the first half, did the same thing. So, I mean, KU's superior talent and coaching obviously factored in there and kind of steered the ship home through those two games. But, yeah, the West Virginia game, definitely not only the disappointment of that stretch, but the low point of the year so far, by far.
Right. So many turnovers.
And you know, that was surprising, and that was the other thing that I thought was good about the TCU game. They bounced back from that. They had 22 turnovers at West Virginia, but only 10 against TCU. And different styles, different team, different environment, all that. So, you know, not worth, like, standing ovation for that. But still, it's nice to see. And I wrote this in my Day After blog. It's nice to see that a lot of the issues that really hurt them at West Virginia were addressed and emphasized and then taken care of in the immediate game that followed it. What's at this point the most impressive part to you about this team? There's a lot of factors, a lot of ways you could go with this, whether it's offense, defense, individual scoring, collective scoring. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of ways you can go with this, I think, and maybe not be wrong with any of them. But to you personally, what's the most impressive thing about this group of Jayhawks?
At this point in the season, I think it almost can change every week or every couple of weeks. A month ago, we were like wowed by Wayne Seldon and how great he was in the non-conference, especially. But, I guess right now I'd say how well Perry Ellis is playing. You know, once the Big 12 play started, I mean, he's kind of been that guy that self expected him to be all season long.
No doubt. You know, I mean, right around 20 points,
9 or 10 rebounds. That's what you want from your, you know, all Big 12 forward.
Sure.
Double essentially, or close to it.
Sure. Yeah, he's leading the team in scoring, averaging 15.9 in 17 games. He's averaging 7 rebounds. I mean, if you would have told Bill Self before the year that Perry Ellis would give you 15.9 and 7 night in, night out, especially once Big 12 started, he probably would have said, that's it.
Right.
I mean, really.
Well, that's kind of my point, too, because in Big 12 games, he's averaging 18 and 9.
There you go.
So
there you go.
It's getting a lot better as the – it gets to the kind of the heart of the season that we're in now.
And he did that last year, right? Yeah, I mean, remember that stretch of whatever it was, 4 or 5 games? Where
right before he got hurt.
He improved his point total every night, and it was right around 20, and it was like 19, then 20, then 22, then 25, then 27, or whatever it was. It was a real moment of watching that guy take over games and take over a stretch of the season. And not quite there yet, because even in these games where he has averaged the 18 and 9 like you're talking about, some of them have been quiet.
And that's kind
of the Perry Ellis way. Yeah. But even still, some of them have been quiet. In that stretch last year, there was nothing quiet about it. Right. He looked like the best player on the floor. He looked unstoppable at times. And right now, he's kind of more workmanlike. He's a little bit more, I'll just go get it done and find a way, whether that's get to the free throw line a bunch or just grind it out in the post or whatever it takes. He's kind of doing that more than taking over, but maybe that's just the foundation for, you know, really getting after it and hitting that stretch. To expect him to have a stretch like that again this year is crazy. Yeah. I mean, you just can't ask for that. You can't expect that. But knowing him, it certainly could be coming.
And I don't know, that TCU game, he only had 10 points. Like,
Everybody had 10, right?
But I think the two quick fouls in the first half, he didn't play a lot of the first half. So I think that was part of it. But I was kind of taken aback on a couple of his dunks. Like, he really unleashed and, like, finished, like, with a hammer up there.
I think that's perfect, too, because it goes back to my point about a lot of the issues that you saw hurt them at West Virginia were addressed and emphasized against TCU. And that was one. Against West Virginia, a couple of times, Ellis went up to try to flush or try to get a steal an easy lay-in, and he got stuffed. A couple of times fouled, too. But a couple of times were clean blocks, and it just didn't look like he had the lift there. And so, same thing. I mean, even if it's a subconscious thing, I think that was Perry Ellis saying, look, I watched the tape. I know how I got punked a little bit. I'm going to go ahead and finish this one with a little extra.
Yeah, and I just am not used to seeing Perry Ellis try to, like, tear down the rim on a dunk. But it kind of looked like he was on two of his dunks on Saturday. That was kind of my biggest takeaway, was like, boy, Perry Ellis kind of looks mad.
Yeah.
And he's usually emotionless, which is, you know, the...
Good both ways,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, good both ways. But to see him kind of have some anger and some ferociousness on a dunk, I was kind of impressed.
Well, you got to wonder. It's the 18th game of his final season tomorrow. And, you know, there aren't very many guaranteed left. Obviously, you got the rest of the Big 12 schedule, and then one in the Big 12 tournament guaranteed and one in the big tournament guaranteed. After that, you know, nothing's guaranteed. And this is a guy that's going to go on to play a lot of basketball, whether it's in the NBA or overseas. He's got a lot of ball left, but not a lot of ball at Kansas. So, you know, maybe that urgency's kicking in. And maybe not. I mean, maybe he's just... I feel like if you asked Perry Ellis that, is it senior urgency or whatever, I feel like he would say, kind of, you know, maybe. Yeah.
Right.
But I don't think he would say absolutely. I think he's just the kind of guy that... And he probably was this way when he was 7 years old and 11 years old. I mean, just kind of guy that shows up every day and tries to get a little bit better. He'd be perfect on the KU football team because that's all they do, right? They just try to get a little bit better than they were the day before. And I'm kind of kidding, but really that's all you can do in the football team's position. And at the same time, I don't care if you're the number three team in the country. That still should be your goal.
Yeah, that should be your approach if you're playing it at this level in any sport.
Go get better. And I think that's what he's doing. So that's kind of a combination of really two things or three things even that benefit Kansas. If that's the approach of your leading scorer, your senior, your most veteran guy, then everybody else should sort of fall in line behind that. And I think in a lot of ways they have. Let's talk the flip side of this. And I also wrote this in my day after blog following that TCU game. I think Frank Mason has been a little bit tough to figure lately, too. Number one, he's not playing the 38, 39 minutes that he had to play last year, and that you would think is a good thing because he's getting rest, he's not taking the beating that he had to take, and I would think that would be a good thing, but he just looks out of sorts to me. Not terrible by any means because he's still putting up numbers and he's still a factor, but there's something missing, and I honestly can't quite put my finger on it. His shot looks a little forced, a little rushed, and I think some of that has to do with the fact that in the past when he shot that three-point shot, it was oftentimes wide open or you didn't take it. And now I think you see him taking contested shots a little more.
Oh, sure.
And so maybe that's why they're missing. It could be just as simple as a hand in his face is bothering him a little bit. But even driving to the rim, and I noted this, unless it's been in transition, if it's out of the half court, he's throwing it off the backboard too hard just as often as he's finishing right now.
He's also like... this TCU game in particular, I remember at least two or three times where he kind of drove it into the paint from the wing or from the top of the key and just threw kind of awkward, like, lobbing passes out back out to someone behind the three-point line, and they were kind of off the mark and, you know, not the kind of pass you would want anybody to make because there wasn't anything on it.
Absolutely.
And so, I mean, it is kind of strange. These past few weeks in particular, he doesn't quite seem like himself.
Yeah, and who knows? I mean, it was well documented that at that West Virginia game, his entire family was there. They had some trouble getting there because of the weather and the travels, and that would make sense to me why you would be a little worried and off your game. Your head would be elsewhere a little bit that night. But it has been more consistent than that, and again, by no means am I calling him a bad player or anything like that. I mean, he's still their third leading scorer, averaging 13 points a game, and I mean he's right there in the assist totals, and heck, he's, you know what, their second or third leading rebounder too, at the guard position. Yeah. You know, he's still Frank Mason. He's just looked a little bit less dynamic, I guess, is the way, and a little bit more average in the last few weeks, and I haven't really been able to quite figure that out. I don't know if the Devontae Graham thing has worked quite as well as self-hoped. I think it had for a while, and then now here in Big 12 play, maybe it's not really showing its head as much, and that could obviously be because the competition has increased.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't know if Mason's just going through a little bit of a slump right now, and we'll see him, you know, in the next week or two kind of get back to his old form. And it's an interesting point you make about Graham and kind of their pairing together, because I just don't know who else you would play in the backcourt besides those.
You
two.
Can't.
They're
right.
They're clearly the best two guards on the team. And
yeah, the only other option, right, would be to put Seldon back at two,
right.
Have these two guys kind of be the interchangeable point guard.
Yeah.
And then, but then you've got to put another big out there or a small forward, which would maybe be Bragg right now. But Bragg, Brandon Green, are they deserving of that? Probably not.
Not yet, probably.
So, and I think Devontae Graham's had a great year, actually.
Yeah.
I mean, he's had some moments where he needed some help and a reminder of just the fact that he's not LeBron Jordan. But at the same time, I think he's shown really throughout the season the areas that he's improved, both physically, both in, mentally, intelligence-wise, as a basketball player, and just the feel. I think he's shown a lot of improvement and has looked pretty good so far. And it seems to be another one of those guys that on any night – could take over a game and carry this team wherever they need. So it's not to knock either one of these guys because they've both been very good and
right.
Obviously good enough to get KU to 15-2 and number three in the country, number one for a little while. But not flawless. And then that brings us to the bench, which obviously right now there's a lot of talk about Bragg and Diallo and,
right.
and what they did against TCU. Tip of the cap to Perry Ellis for getting those two fouls, because if he doesn't...
Setting it up.
Yeah, I don't think either one of them, certainly not both of them, get the opportunity that they got. But that opportunity was born from Ellis's foul trouble, and they took advantage of it. So those are two key guys off the bench, or potentially key guys off the bench. And then you've got, like we talked about, Green and Svi, and then the big man. One of them starts, and that's Hunter Mickelson.
Right. And Well, Tom wrote about this for Monday's paper about Diallo or Bragg. One of them's probably going to be in the starting lineup, and you'd have to guess Bragg at this point.
Yeah, right.
Just because he's a little bit ahead, he's been a little bit more consistent than Diallo.
Sure.
But it's easy to see self switching it up and taking Mickelson and putting him on the bench and plugging in either Bragg or Diallo.
Well, and ideally both, you know, because Lucas leaves something to be desired.
Right.
Bill Self has a lot of trust in Jamari Traylor, but, you know, he's hit or miss. I mean, he'll come out and deliver some nights and be really good. Other nights he just looks like he's just not there. So, the bench, I don't know. Overall, there's a lot of talent there. There's a lot
for
of guys
sure.
on that bench that any team in the country would love to have on their bench.
Right.
So it still looks to me to be a luxury, but I think there's definitely a clear separation where you're looking at there. It's very obvious the at least the four guys that you want on the floor, and if you could play all four of those guys all 40 minutes every night, you'd do it in a second.
Yeah.
But you can't.
Yeah. I don't know. That all those guys average pretty high minutes per game.
Yeah.
Like 30 plus. Yeah, I mean, in Big 12 play, actually, I've got it right here.
There you go, that's the question.
36.2 minutes for Mason, 33.6 for Seldon, 34.2 for Ellis, 33.2 for Graham.
There you go.
I mean,
they're basically doing it.
Yeah, Self's no dummy. He knows it's those four guys that need to be on the floor, and they basically have been, except for, you know, need a breather here and there, get in foul trouble, something like that. So
find one more guy.
Yeah, that's kind of the weird thing, that it is it's the third week of January.
Yeah, right.
And KU still doesn't really know its
rotation.
Fifth best player.
Yeah,
it definitely
doesn't
know its front court rotation.
Yeah.
So
any given night. It just in some ways, I know people kind of panic about that, but in some ways I think that could be to KU's benefit, you know? I mean,
mm-hmm.
It could be any one of those guys. We've seen it, too. We've seen Traylor have a big night. We've seen Lucas have a big night. We've seen Mickelson have a big night. Now we've seen Bragg and Diallo both have pretty good nights, maybe even big nights. Diallo's night the other day against TCU was really good.
Yeah,
defensively
in particular.
Yeah, yeah, the points were...
Consistently swatting those shots and just really being a presence around the rim.
Well, and they were all, you know, they weren't help defense type blocks where he came over, left his man and blocked somebody else's. He dug in and guarded his man and then blocked his man's shot. I mean, that's impressive. So maybe that's to KU's benefit, that any one of those guys could come in and be the guy that you know, isn't going to have like a top two night, but certainly serviceable or delivers. Because that's hard to guard. That's hard to prepare for. That's hard to kind of adjust to when you're an opposing coach, when you're coming in here and okay, hey, Lucas has been hot the last couple games. We really have to put a body on him because he'll hit the boards hard. And then he plays 4 minutes, and a guy like Diallo comes in and changes exactly what you expect. And instead of this big lug that just goes and crashes the boards and plays big, you got this athletic motor freak that's just running around going crazy. I mean, that's hard to adjust to. So, you know, leave it to Bill Self and Kansas to get a benefit out of something that could possibly be a negative too. But anyway, overall thoughts just as they head into the second portion here of Big 12 play. 4-1, so what, about to enter the second quarter or right on the beginning of the second quarter of Big 12 play. What do you think's ahead for this team? I mean, do you think they have another stretch in them where they put together a bunch of wins in a row, or do you think we're talking 3-4 wins, then a loss, 2-3 wins, then a loss?
Well, the Big 12 is so good, I think it's going to be really hard for any team, including Kansas and Oklahoma, to just rattle off 8 or 9 wins in a row.
Sure.
I just don't see it happening for either of them, frankly. I just think there's a curveball in there at some place in the schedule, almost every other game or every third game.
Yeah,
whatever it happens to be. It's just too good of a league, and the teams at the bottom of the league are a lot better than they used to be.
A lot better. I mean,
there used to be just patsies at the bottom of the league. I don't think you see that anymore.
Totally
TCU
agree.
TCU might be the worst team in the league, and I mean, you saw they played tough at Allen Fieldhouse.
Right.
They don't quite have the firepower to actually win that type of game, but they really competed.
Yeah.
They beat Texas at home. That's their only Big 12 win so far. But, I mean, it's just, I think any of those teams that you rank, you know, 6th through 10th in the Big 12 are capable of,
especially at home,
on some night, knocking off one of the top three teams.
Yeah, I mean, Oklahoma State almost did it last week to Oklahoma.
Yeah.
And that's who KU's got. So I think the best thing about that, and then we'll get out of here, but the best thing about that is you should see teams that are locked in every night because of that. And every team should have every other team's attention in this league because of that. And maybe West Virginia didn't have KU's attention for some reason when they went out there. But I don't think that was it. I think it was just a fatigue type of thing. And I'm not using that as an excuse. I just think that's what it was. They were just not physically up for it. But it wasn't because they didn't believe that West Virginia was good and they didn't realize where they were or what they were playing. I think that was crystal clear to them. It just wasn't their night to play at a high level. But they're definitely ready for Oklahoma State because of that very fact that they saw that the Cowboys forced Buddy Hield into 10 turnovers by himself last week and almost beat him. I mean, if that doesn't get your attention, nothing will, and on down the line.
And, I mean, the freshman, Jawan Evans, scored 42 points against Oklahoma.
Yeah, I thought that was great that Bill Self pointed out that he had 42 in 40 minutes.
Yeah.
Buddy Hield got his 46 here in 55 minutes.
And he also said, this was also a really great point, that he only took 2 3-pointers.
Amazing.
And he only took 5 free throws.
Amazing.
18 field goals in that game.
Just got buckets.
Yeah.
That's all he was doing. Yeah, no, that kid's going to be something to watch. And I'm telling you what, if they had Forte, they'd be a dangerous team.
For
they're really missing him because he can fill it up.
Yep.
But also because he's a veteran. He's been out there. He's played in all kinds of wars.
Yeah.
Not afraid of anything. I hate to see him injured. He'll definitely be that guy next year that is the classic, this guy's still here?
Right.
You know, the Perry Ellis, I guess.
The 8th-year senior.
Right, yeah. People will be furious that the little gym rat is still out there knocking down threes from halfway. So, it's a bummer that he's not healthy for that team. They'd be a lot better. But maybe that's what's given Evans the opportunity to kind of flourish and to take over. So, should be a good test. It always is in Stillwater. They've stormed the last couple of times that KU's been down there. And I don't anticipate that happening this time. I think KU will be ready for this game. I think they'll be locked in. And I think that, again, KU's aware that they didn't play their best game against TCU either and still managed to win. There's an emphasis from the coaching staff that says when you go out on the road, you gotta tighten that up. You've got to be more locked in. And I think the fact that West Virginia was their last road game, hey, remember what happened last time we played on the road is all you have to say, yeah. And that gets their attention too. So should be a good game, and then home against Texas this weekend. Shaka Smart coming to Allen Fieldhouse.
Fieldhouse debut.
The dream we've all been waiting for. So we will 100% be back later in the week for a Spodcast previewing the Shaka arrival. We might have Shaka Watch. We might have Shaka Cam. We might do all kinds of things. Welcoming Shaka to Lawrence for the first time. I don't know if the fans will be so gracious. Most of them probably still hate him for VCU. But hey, the guy's a stud. I can't wait to see him in the field house. But first, KU Oklahoma State on Tuesday night from Stillwater. As always, we'll have all your coverage right here at KUSports.com. Benton, send us out with something amazing. You started with something amazing. The yard work talk, all that. It was really exciting.
Wasn't that you that was talking about the yard
work? Well, it was your yard work, though. Oh, so send us out with something amazing.
Wow. I'm just going to have a warning about tomorrow night's KU-Oklahoma State game.
I love warnings.
Yes. Both these teams are pretty good defensively. They're actually the top two teams in field goal percentage defense in Big 12 play. So just head into that game expecting to not come away feeling like you watched a beautiful basketball game. This is not going to be a high-scoring game. It's not going to be pretty.
Beautiful.
So be prepared to be disappointed.
Beautiful. Good warning. Good finish. Jayhawks Cowboys, the dream matchup for all you rebound lovers. We'll talk to you guys next time on the Spodcasters.